Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch, for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.
Welcome to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast, where we take a look back at some of the best bits from last week's programmes. As it was Mental Health Awareness Week, we started our new Charity of the Week feature, speaking with Adam Hudgeon from Reach Isle of Man. Don't forget you can nominate a charity by emailing latelunch@manxradio.com. We were back at the Cook Shack with gorgeous Georgie Revel and special guest Joanne Posey. In the next of our Collectors series, Tom Kane shared his grandfather's memoirs, and Duxford returned and took us for a trip along the railway line. We also had a glorious time at the end of the week experiencing the fabulous community at Dorby in the latest episode of our Village Hall series. We start, though, with Late Lunch GP Dr. John giving great advice about mental health and how you can help.
People come in and will say in the first consultation at the end, when they have had 5, 10, 20 minutes just being listened to, that they feel a lot better just having had the space to talk about it, because very often it'll be the first time people have been able to open up honestly about it. A lot of people feel guilty about opening up in front of their family. A lot of people will say, we don't want to trouble them, we don't want to worry them. People are really worried about worrying other people, despite the fact that they are anxious themselves. And I think that's what we've got to begin to break down. We've got to begin to break down people's worry about worrying other people. So I think the more that we can all accept as a society that sometimes people just need to talk and all that we need to do is listen, then I think that will make a huge difference. Very often people worry about not knowing what to say, thinking, I can't help, I don't have any expertise. The reality is you don't need any expertise, you just need to be there. And sometimes you just need to sit and allow somebody, without judgment, without any sort of comment really, to just talk about what's worrying them. Or how they're feeling. And that is often quite therapeutic in itself.
If someone goes to see their GP with things like anxiety, depression, panic attacks, does it automatically mean that they're going to be given medication to help cope with those symptoms? And
no.
Will it mean a long-term course of medication?
No, absolutely not. Of course, there are going to be some circumstances in which medication becomes the appropriate thing to do. And different doctors deal with things in different ways. But generally, the rule of thumb now is that there are multiple ways of handling and dealing with anxiety. The first of which is simply giving space to people to be able to express their anxieties. And as I've said, for many people, that's a good start. And they will often go home feeling better. And the chance to talk again is sometimes the only thing we need to give them. So we have counselling, we have anxiety management, both on a one-to-one basis and in group settings, run by our community mental health teams. And that is essentially just a space to be listened to. It's guided, and so there are professionals there who can begin to help you feel and think differently about the way you approach challenges in your life. When you're feeling very anxious, I'm sure all of us have had this feeling, when you're feeling anxious for whatever reason or worried for any reason, when you try and make decisions, those decisions are often skewed by how you're feeling. So even if you have to decide whether I want to go to the shops or not, or, you know, am I going to put the bin out, being very anxious is going to affect those decisions. So sometimes just having strategies in place to decide how best to make a decision when you're feeling worried is what you need. So sometimes it's just about that. Sometimes it's about self-help. So there are lots of online resources now that you can use in your own home. There are books that you can read. There are CDs that you can listen to on sort of relaxation and that sort of thing. So there's lots of stuff you can do yourself. In some cases, particularly because anxiety and depression are so closely linked, it is appropriate to use medication. And nowadays, the medication that we use generally is pretty clean, doesn't tend to sedate you, doesn't tend to be addictive. Lots of people are worried about that, and tends to be a pretty elegant thing to use. So it's sometimes right to do that.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Please tell us your name and charity.
Well, I'm Adam Hudgeon, and I'm representing Reach IOM.
How did the charity start and what is its purpose?
So the charity officially started about a month ago now. We got it registered, and its purpose is to be there for anyone struggling with anxiety and depression. It came about, obviously, on the back of me sharing my story. I put at the end of it, you can come in for a cup of tea if you want to chat, and next minute everyone was messaging. So I thought, let's build something, we can really make a change. So I approached Luke, obviously, Luke Adabai, because he's got knowledge in this kind of thing, and we haven't looked back since.
What are your main goals?
Help everyone on the Isle of Man, I'd like to say, but I know, look, if we help one person, that's our job done, isn't it? So help as many as we possibly can.
Tell us about your team.
David Cretney, obviously, Tanya, August Hansen, Luke Adebay. I've got a few sort of helping out, but I won't mention just yet, just in case that, you know, they don't want to be aired on radio. Yeah, but I've got literally probably about 10 people in the background helping, which is great.
Who is the charity for?
Well, at the minute, I'd say probably middle 20s, around 25. I've had a few younger ones and a few older ones, but I'd probably say around 25, 26. Anxiety is a big one. Anxiety, panic attacks as well. Panic attacks is huge. We're just trying to work with them to, you know, change their mindset. But yeah, that's what I wanted to aim at. But anyone, it's for anyone.
Which other organisations do you work with?
At the minute, we are building, sort of trying to build a bit of a network going with different people. Obviously, Mike Hewley at Mindfulness. Obviously, Ali Bondi at Mind Apples as well.
How do you see the charity developing over the next 5 years?
Wow, 5 years. Obviously, we're going to get ourselves a premises where people can come. We're going to work with schools at the minute to try and build a bit of like a platform so that everyone can be in it together, rather than one school doing one thing, the other doing the other. So working closely with schools is a big thing.
How is the charity funded?
At the minute, it isn't. Our presentation evening will be in June, because obviously TT is coming up, and we've got so much going on with obviously this week as well. So at the minute, it's not being funded, but that's fine, because, you know, we're coming out to see people wherever they want to meet, so we don't need funding at the minute, but for the premises and stuff like that, we will do. We'll get there.
How can people support you?
People can support. There's a crowdfunding page on Reach IOM on Facebook. That's still going.
Where can people find out more?
Yeah, so the website's not up and running yet. That will be in the next 2 weeks, but you can find us on Facebook at Reach IOM. My number's on there as well. We've got LinkedIn, Instagram, so any one of them platforms. If you've got ideas and stuff, throw them at me. I'm always there to listen, obviously.
The Nation Station, Max Radio.
Well, speaking of Georgie, who is the woman who seems to have everything to hand, she has various things to hand. We're going to be cooking something in just a moment. Just tell us, first of all, what it is we're going to be cooking, Georgie.
Well, let's welcome you first to the Cook Chat. Lovely to have you back again, and also to have the wonderful Joanne here, who's been here before, done a course. So today what we're going to do is we're going to do a bit of Jekyll and Hyde. We're actually going to start off with the naughty bit, and we're going to do a sort of a bread and butter pudding, but my twist on it, and using Noah Bakehouse croissants, and we're going to be using Ayland Dairy milk and Isle of Man cream rose cream, a bit of cream cheese, which you could always use the Isle of Man goat's cheese, which I think will be a gorgeous addition. Some lovely local eggs, some vanilla, etc. And we're going to put that all in. That's going to be shoved into the agar, and we're going to bake that for about 30 minutes. And then we're going to do something very, very healthy, which I think Joanne will approve of.
Joanne, just explain what it is you do.
I'm a nutritional therapist. I'm the owner of Life Lessons Nutrition. So what I do is I see people one-to-one in clinic. I also do a number of corporate workshops, and I've been fortunate enough to, as Georgia said, work up here with a bunch of lovely ladies last month, and we have another one being talked about at the moment. And I've also done some work with my friend and colleague Esther Jones, who's a yoga therapist. So we've done a couple of courses together, one for some slightly older ladies, and we're now looking at doing one for people with fibromyalgia.
Wonderful. I just have to ask them, with the focus being on healthy food, do you approve of Georgie's croissants, if I can ask that?
Well, I subscribe to the viewpoint that if you're getting it right 80% of the time, you can forget about the rest.
I'm just going to concentrate from now on that 20%. That's what I might do for all of the time. And Georgie, one thing that was actually just talked about previously with Stu on Talking Heads was food waste, and he talked about eggs, because apparently the three items that we waste most in the UK are eggs, potatoes and bread. And you gave some good tips about eggs, actually, because I know there's that thing you can do by putting them in water, isn't there?
Yes, but I think what I would do is, you know, they come as a sealed little unit, and if they are put in the fridge, taken out, put in the fridge, taken out all the time, they may go off. But you know what? Rather than just throw them away if they've gone past their expired date, just crack them, and nothing's really going to happen. You might get a bad smell, chuck it over the hedge or down the loo, but otherwise it'll be fine. Just smell everything, smell test. With the potatoes, okay, you're talking about raw potatoes, buy a little bit of compost or go out in the garden and just dig a hole, put it in there. You might get some delicious new potatoes in time for Christmas at this time of year, or even earlier, autumn. And then the other thing was bread. So put the bread in the freezer when you've got time, grate it or whiz it up in a food processor, and you've got beautiful breadcrumbs for stuffing chicken or something like that.
Can I just check then? I know sometimes there's a bit of a debate about where you should keep your eggs.
Yes.
Is fridge best, in your opinion?
I don't. I like to keep my eggs out in the kitchen because a lot of the egg holders are in the door of the fridge. And you are opening the door, you're looking for other stuff in the fridge, it's keeping getting them warm, and then you're closing them and they're going cold again. On a counter, just at a constant temperature away from the sun.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
So it's my grandfather, Kenneth Bradford. He was very close to my heart. He lived with myself and my family throughout my childhood, really, while he worked at the Manx Museum. Unfortunately, he smoked like a trooper, but he lived till he was about 73 or so. From a sort of influential point of view, he was a great man with brilliant stories to tell. Myself and my uncle Paul, who was Ken's son, have kind of compared notes about how much of these stories that he wrote are actually true and how much maybe he exaggerated or developed upon.
I love the fact you say that when he lived with you and he was in charge of you and your brother, when perhaps your parents were out somewhere, he took you on an adventure.
Yes, yes. Commonly known as following the nose of the car. So we would go out without any particular agenda or aim, or so we thought. But we'd also always end up at a graveyard. He was very big on family history, and because his heritage was primarily from the Isle of Man for generations and generations, he'd always want to complete the picture from birth through to death. So there'd be photos taken of us stood with gravestones in various parts of the island. And he'd be taking rubbings and writing down details so that my mother, who was the registrar of the island at the time, could find more and more certificates and various pieces of documentary to extend the family tree. Diving and hygienic camping. A couple of summers during the war, the choir boys of St Paul's went camping at Cornay. I don't know how the idea was started, but a few weeks before departure, parents and well-wishers would donate food, etc. These were the days of rationing. The big handcart would be loaded up with the two bell tents and all the provisions, and we were off. We struck camp and got the tents up and fire going, and felt really like Wild West pioneers. I remember once after... So he initially started writing a book called Gizzer Stew, which was his memoirs of growing up in Ramsey as a child. Probably when I was about 10 years old or so, when I was just starting to learn to type, so it came at a good time. He started writing these chapters through on his old-fashioned typewriter and passing them over to us to actually correct spelling and grammar and type these things up into a format that we could then take to a publisher, which at the time they looked at having it published, but there was no real interest. But so we had copies printed and done for various members of the family, so they're scattered few and far between around the clan.
From your point as a grandson, reading through these diary entries, as they almost are, really, I mean, what sort of an insight has it given you into what he was like as a person?
A bit crazy and a bit mad. And obviously the Gizzer Stew book from his childhood really does give an insight to changes in the time, as to, you know, people talk about people rolling a hoop down the road with a stick compared to these days where children maybe are on their mobile phones or, you know, on Xbox, things like that. So it really does give an insight as to what, you know, childhood was like growing up in Ramsey without the world of health and safety.
The Nation Station.
I love Peel in the spring, and I'd normally be up Peel Hill, I think, walking with Duxford today, but we've decided not to do that. There's an awful lot of ticks around at the moment. Duxford the Wonder Dog picked up a nasty tick on his nose a couple of weeks ago, which need to be removed, but they need to be removed properly because, you'll find all the details on the internet, and I'm sure if you have a dog and he's been unfortunate enough to pick up a tick, he'll know what to do. I think it's because quite often there are sheep on Peel Hill, and because we've had a reasonably mild winter, well, a very mild winter by standards, they've had a chance to snuggle their way into the undergrowth, and our intrusive doggies' noses will wake them up, and they see a dinner on the cards. So just watch out for that. A few ticks around on Peel Hill at the moment. Come on, Duckshead. Another great thing about spring is the nesting and mating of our bird life. The most annoying of those, of course, noise-wise, are the gulls, which have been hard at it on the rooftops of Peel, making nests and doing what they do. On the river, the ducklings are here. We'll look forward to seeing some ducklings. In a few weeks' time, I'm just hoping that the gulls don't have the babies, which they do here in Peel, which is ruthless and bloodthirsty, but part of nature, I suppose. We're just walking down the left-hand bank, or the right-hand bank, I suppose, of the River Neb, as it runs into Peel Harbour, and we're coming across where all the geese sit during the afternoon. Well, during the day, most of the day, actually. Hang on a minute. Duckshead, leave them. Duckshead, leave it. There's only one winner there, and it isn't going to be you.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Beth, we've come outside. I have to say, this has been one of the most beautiful days in a really special place.
It really is. I feel quite at home here, and I think that's as much to do with the people as it is to do with the place, because I know we talk about community so much, but this just epitomises everything that is positive about that community notion and the idea that if anybody moved into Dorby, they would be welcomed with open arms, especially if they could bake. but, you know, they're just so involved and just so welcoming. I love it. Uh-huh. And we keep talking about this Hub Hostel. Now, this is a fairly new renovation project that's taken place. It was funded by the Friends of St James's. We've had a sneaky peek inside. You have to see this, because you could come and stay here. It doesn't even cost the earth, but you could have this little bit of paradise to yourself for a night. Come inside.
And in a very special bit, as you can see, we were talking about the fact this used to be a schoolhouse, and just in the window up there you can see one of the school chairs that we talked about, and in here we'll show you there is one of the school desks as well, so you can see how this building has transformed over the years, really. Ben Cameraman, watch a step. There's a step there. There we go. So let's come on through. Oh, see, my family are getting in the way. Look at this.
They don't want to leave.
I know.
We'll be looking at rates for the hub and staying, because they might extend their holiday because they love it so much.
There you go. See, look what we've done here.
Amazing.
So we come on through. Come on through. So first of all, well, here's Cheryl and here's Jilly. And also you can see all around the walls are these wonderful images of Dorby basically through the years. So, oh, and there's a sleeping Beth, who's definitely made herself at home. She's staying. So if you look at these, you can see the characters of Dorby through the years, some wonderful photographs, all collected by the Friends of St James's and people who live in the community who've gotten together to put all of these photos up here.
And you mentioned the chair that we saw in the window. This is a desk from the original schoolroom, which just fits in so well with what they've done here. And it's just a little bit of history, and it's just accessible to anybody.
And with the inkwells, look at the inkwells. They've still got the inkwells there. When people actually used to write with their hands and actually writing utensils, because now, of course, everyone just uses their phones and typewriters. But yeah, it's a beautiful space.
Let's get Jilly over to find out how you could stay here, because I know I keep saying this, but who wouldn't want to stay here for a night? Because you can sleep, what, four people, Jilly?
Up to four people, so anybody, one to four people. It's your own private room from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. It's a nightly rate of £25 to £20, depending on how many people are staying. Come and join us.
Oh, and I think we are going to do just that at some point, if I can kick my family out, because I think they've pretty much made home here as well.
They have. And there's all got all facilities. There's a toilet, shower and everything like that.
There's a toilet and there's a shower. There's basic cooking facilities, microwave, kettle. I think we've got a little hob you can use as well. We're trying to do some locally prepared food, put in the freezer, so you can even feed yourself from our little local shop.
Those are all our late lunch leftovers for this week. Do tune in for the main helping on Manx Radio weekdays just after 2 p.m. Every week, of course, we'll have our regular features with Duxford Diaries. We'll have Mark Tiley's Greatest Hit, Midweek Mindfulness, and plenty more with our monthly guests as well.
But for now, thank you so much for listening to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast. We'll see you again next time.
Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch, for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.